Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
I grew up with a health nut for a mother back in the 1970s. I've talked before about her dragging me to the health food store, which smelled like carob, which I wasn't a big fan of. But she tried to go about things the right way, Andrea. But what ended up happening is she was so strict on the junk food that I ate 10 times as much at my friends' houses. And I spent all my allowance on junk food. There's got to be a better way to raise a healthy eater.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I came from a family as well where my dad ate all the junk food he possibly could get his hands on, and my mom was the opposite. So it was really funny, which is what sparked me to write our book on junk, your junk food, funny enough. So woo-hoo! I get about balance.
Totally. Well, we've got the wonderful Courtney Blatt, certified nutrition and wellness coach from the 1111 Wellness Center, to help us help our kids. Hi, Courtney.
Hi there.
So, Courtney, I mentioned the story about my mother, and I would imagine that that's a problem is when you deprive the kids too much. Is that something that you've seen as well, and when you want to raise a healthy eater as a no-no?
You know, I agree 100%. I grew up with a friend who had a similar issue, and one of my big tips is not to make food an issue, because the last thing you want really is your child feeling deprived, right? So, especially when it comes to kids, is to allow everything in moderation. Because usually an all-out food prohibition against junk food really just makes it more enticing. So the best, thing you can teach your kids is really how to incorporate treats or, some sort of fun food, but in a reasonable way.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more, Courtney, because, and I wasn't kidding when, I said in the intro that that's what sparked us to write Unjunk Your Junk Food, because, I have three kids myself, and I know that if we deprive them from doing things, and they're just going to rebel later. I know myself, if I was deprived of something, I was going to try and get my hands on it tenfold, when my parents weren't around. So I think like you said, the balance is key, and it should be about the 80-20 rule anyways, because 80% of the time, if they're eating healthy, we feel good about it, but that's that 20% kind of let them go and do their thing. How do you feel when, your kids are, kids or your opinion about kids when they're at birthday parties or friends' houses? What do you think parents should do?
I'm a big believer in the 80-20 rule in general. You cannot control, obviously, everything. And you can't, in general, just use food or that kind of treats and that type of stuff as a reward. So, in general, if a kid's going to be at a birthday party or they're at a friend's house or they're even at school, sometimes at school they hand out processed snacks and foods like that. You have to just sort of let it go. It's part of life, right? You can't control everything. And then when they're at home, you try to give them whole, real foods. And what I've seen with my toddler, going along these rules is that he doesn't even choose the junk food when he has a choice, right? Because mm-hmm. children love mm-hmm. choices. You give them a bunch of choices, their eating patterns are used to choosing whole foods, and they usually will grab that. So, for instance, we're at the park one day, he always has an apple or a sliced apple because it's easy for on the go, and other kids usually have something in a package, and he'll still ask me for the apple.
Oh, that's awesome. Because it's what he's used to. Now, Courtney, what if parents who are listening are just getting on the healthy food bandwagon and it's not what their kids are used to? What are good ways to make changes in their diets and have them not rebel too much, hopefully?
Yeah, I think a great way to start is by, just being flexible and giving choices. Obviously kids love to exert their independence. So if you can give them, one or two different choices and make sure they're somewhat healthy options, that always works. Another great way is to start just incorporating, healthier foods within their meals. And, you can always do the trick where you hide vegetables within a dish, right? Or you can right. make food fun. Halloween's coming up, and I know that's obviously sort of the beginning of sugar season, but one way there is just sort of be crafty with whole foods, right? So make something fun like carrot sticks that sort of look like, witch's fingers, or apples that look like, something like a, scary mouse. You can do something that looks fun and sort of spooky, but make it sort of, based on healthy food.
And I think the key to any child eating healthy is really laying the foundation when they're young. And I know that, you know, my business partner, Randy, you know, her kids are a little bit older than mine. And I know that for her, sometimes integrating some newer things is a little bit more difficult because she didn't do it when they were younger. And I know for me, my kids have been getting things like fish oil or flax seeds or chia seeds since they were practically, I mean, babies, right? So, and now they beg for it. I mean, my kids throw tantrums for things like fish oil. So I think that if we lay the foundation for them young enough, then like you said, when they're at the park and they want a snack, they're going to ask for those apples, which, by the way, I know you can't see me, but I'm clapping my hands because I think that's truly phenomenal that you're able to achieve that.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I think you bring up a good point. It's really important to keep your pregnancy diet clean because research has shown that what we eat during when we're pregnant actually shapes our child's food preferences later for life. And then if you start off, you know, just from the beginning, when they're in the womb, you'll actually see that pay off, you know, as your child begins to eat solids and as you develop their food pattern.
Yeah, it's so true, especially with the nursing. You know, they say that kids who nurse are less picky. My daughter will try anything. Doesn't mean she always likes it, but she'll try anything. And she has an affinity for guacamole, salsa, and garlic. And let me tell you, I lived on that when I was pregnant. Without the fried chips, of course, I would just eat it right, you know, straight. But it really makes a difference. And I see that with bottle fed versus nursing. Now, of course, if women have issues, that's a whole nother story. But it is a great thing if you can do it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, that's so funny. Yeah, and Lisa, you know, it's great. You know, both of you, Courtney, Lisa, both of you are bringing up such amazing, you know, points. Courtney, you know, I just recently read a study that was saying that pregnant women, when they, like, back to what you were saying before, that who don't cleanse before they get pregnant are dumping all of the toxins and all, I guess, the bad things that are in their bodies into that firstborn. And many kids who are born nowadays are born with issues, especially the firstborn. And by the time they get to the third or the fourth, they're not, you know, they don't have issues like ADD, let's say, or ADHD. Do you know anything about that? Or have you read anything about that?
I have seen some studies based on that. They do say that, you know, it's important for, you know, obviously when a child is developing within your womb, it's picking up all the, you know, everything that's in your system. So that would make sense. Again, I do believe that if you can keep your pregnancy diet clean, and I've seen it with my toddler, everything I eat, he really has a preference for later on in life. And I have carried that through now that, you know, he's gotten older. We don't cook twice in our house. I cook one meal, and it's what my husband and I eat, and it's what my children eat as well. So there's nothing that's a sort of, quote, kids menu. And when we go out, we sort of carry that through as well. So it's on the basis that we're eating whole foods, they should be eating what we're eating as well.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. I do the same thing. One meal, right, Andrea?
One meal. And I love that Courtney's saying that because, again, she can't see me because I'm smiling as she's saying that.
She's beaming.
You know, because in our house, you know, I've got one pickier eater than one out of my three that is much pickier, and she doesn't want to eat what the rest of us are eating. And I'm like, no problem. There's the fridge. Go make yourself dinner. I'm not cooking something else. So, you know, I love that you say that. And I kind of, and, you know, it's kind of, you're eating what we're eating or you're making it yourself, you know, sorry, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, it saves a lot of time. And, you know, obviously, you know, growing up is not going to be the easiest thing to do, but if you sort of keep that pattern, I think it really helps kids understand that there shouldn't be a separate menu.
Absolutely. And, you know, really quickly, we have about, probably 40 seconds left. You know, I find that kids can become addicted to sugar very quickly. And, you know, do you have any good strategies for us moms out there who are trying to, you know, lower our kids' sugar intake and kind of stop that addiction before it even starts?
You know, I think the best advice really is to obviously not make it an issue, right? So to allow your kids to have some sugar, you know, at certain points, but to sort of place the emphasis around other types of things that you can be doing. So not to be using it as a reward, which I often see parents do.
I think that's a great, great tip, Courtney. Thank you so much for being on the show today. And until next time, stay connected at RadioMD and NaturallySavvy.com, where we keep you informed and up to date on all things natural and organic. Stay well.